Audio Narrative 4. The Rise of Blandford's Railway. In 1856, in the field at Blandford St. Mary, Henry Danby Seymour, chairman of the Dorset Central Railway, toasted Ladysmith with these words: "You have this day performed an important duty in turning the first sod of this great undertaking, which we hope, through the blessing of God, will be fraught with benefit both to agriculture and commerce by connecting the Bristol and English channels." His speech at the luncheon afterwards listed the benefits of connecting Dorset with the rest of the country, such as obtaining cheap coal direct from the pit mouth in South Wales. This coal would fuel the steam threshing machine of a Blackmore Vale farmer who could sell Dorset corn to the mining-rich but agriculturally poor South Wales, currently purchasing their produce mainly from Bristol. He spoke of bringing clay to the new potteries in Poole instead of sending the recently found Poole clay up to Staffordshire potteries. He prophesied increased travel by passenger steamer from Poole to Cherbourg via the new railway line to that port. The Dorset Central Railway would bring new jobs, wealth, and a rise in the standard of living for all. Soon after Blandford Station opened, the company promoted passenger travel by offering cheap return tickets to Burnham-on-Sea, and the use of the railway obviously caught on, as 2 years later, the Crown sent a horse-drawn omnibus to meet every train. By 1910, a daily passenger express ran between Manchester and Bournemouth, named in 1927 the Pines Express. It took 6 hours to complete the journey between the two termini, with some of the steepest gradients on the line. In the 50s, it became an iconic train, bringing holiday passengers from northern cities through beautiful Dorset scenery to the Bournemouth seaside. The railway took people to Sturminster Market, on day trips to the seaside at Poole, and Christmas shopping in Bournemouth. Soldiers left to join regiments or travelled home on leave. Newlyweds went on honeymoon, and grandparents arrived to meet their first grandchild. Victorian children waved at the colourful, friendly trains running along the embankment above the playground at Spetsbury School, and 20th century boarders at Bryanston and Claysmore Prep came and went home by train each term. Henry Danby Seymour's promise of a railway fraught with benefit proved right, as factories, farmers and food merchants filled goods wagons with fertiliser and grain, cheese, milk, fish and watercress, beer, cider and sacks of hops, drainpipes from Poole pottery and timber and stone for building. The mail coach carried letters and parcels of all size. One contained tea, stolen from a Blandford tea merchant by his employee, sending it by train to his female accomplice in London. The railway brought coal for domestic fires and stoves, for steam engines working in the fields, and for the Damery Street gasworks. Rickman's steam-driven flour mill had coal and grain delivered by a track from the station through a tunnel under the junction of Edward and Albert Streets. There were pigeon special trains, the coaches fitted out with cages for homing pigeons from the north to be released on the south coast. Sheep, poultry, pigs and rams were often reluctant railway passengers. Someone's dog was even sent, labelled from Bournemouth to Blandford in the guard's van of a passenger train. New businesses started up to serve the railway. Carters delivered coal to sellers in Salisbury Street, and horse-drawn carts and carriages waited at the station to meet trains. 10 new pubs and hotels appeared within spitting distance of the station, while temperance hotels allowed more respectable arrivers to have a quiet cup of coffee and read the paper. New houses were built around the town, many north of the station, forming a new suburb over former pasture lands.